Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling slightly bad because I've just made you start again, because in the first take of the intro to this week's podcast, I used the phrase sex drive.
Oh, don't say it again.
It's nothing to do with my sex drive. As far as I know, I don't have one. I just thought it was a funny phrase. It felt very 70s to me. And then I led us down a terrible cul-de-sac, conversational cul-de-sac, and we had to start again. So sorry about that.
That's okay.
Are we going to hear crooning in the background at your end?
Well, I can't hear at the moment, so maybe it stopped. Let me just take... I think we've moved on to the back rubbing stage.
The back rubbing stage?
Yeah, yeah. We're talking about my partner putting my son to bed, by the way.
Yeah, nothing to do with my nighttime routine. Sex drive.
Absolutely not.
But just before we started recording, I did hear a little bit of crooning, and it was nice.
Yeah, he was doing a lullaby.
I thought. Now, I need to start by apologising to you, not for the sex drive thing, but for something slightly more substantial, which is today here in the UK, there was a minute's silence for NHS workers who've lost their lives treating people with coronavirus.
Mm.
And I accidentally disrupted your minute's silence.
Yeah, I was in Sainsbury's and my phone started ringing and everyone stared at me.
I just want to say, I waited until the end of the minute. I was sat there reflecting. I mean, I never know what you're supposed to do in a minute's silence. So I'm really good at the beginning of one, and I think about people who've lost their lives or sacrifices made. Hmm. And then I do find my mind starts to drift after a while. Then I feel guilty. I'm trying to rein it back in. So what was happening was I was trying to rein my mind back in and just concentrate on, you know, the heartwarming kindness of humans to their fellow humans. And then I noticed the second hand on my phone going round to 1 minute past. I thought, I can probably ring Annabelle now. But it seems to me that maybe the clocks in Sainsbury's are off, or maybe people were doing two or three minutes just to be on the safe side.
Oh, maybe. And also, my phone was on silent. I lied about it ringing and everyone staring at me. I just thought I'd try and make you feel bad for a second. I don't know why.
I told you years ago when it was Diana's funeral, my friend was watching it round his mum and dad's house, and she went out to make a cup of tea and came back in during the 2 minute silence. And she started going, oh, they're very quiet. I mean, no one's saying anything. I mean, what's wrong with them? They're just sat there. Nothing's happening. And my friend lost his temper and shouted, shut up, Mum, it's the 2 minute silence. In the middle of the 2 minute silence. which I enjoyed. Here's something that slightly worried me. Sarah was on an Instagram Live earlier. Have you heard of this podcast called The Guilty Feminist?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So Sarah was on... They were doing some Instagram Live or other. And in advance of it, they sent her an email asking for some kind of feminist cause or charity that she could support or give a link out to during her interview.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't think of one. So I was saying, oh, you should do a domestic abuse one, really, because, they have a really tough time of it, you know, even at Christmas when people are cooped up together, domestic abuse goes up. So like terrible things are happening during lockdown, and it can be difficult for women to reach out for help because they're often in the same space as, you know, their abusers and all this. So I said, it's really important. You should look one up. But I couldn't remember the name of any domestic abuse charities.
Right.
So Sarah sat for about 5 minutes Googling, you know, violence against women, charity, domestic abuse, helpline. And now I'm worried that she's going to start... You know, you get adverts for things you've been Googling. Like, I'm now worried that Google thinks she's in an abusive relationship.
I'd be paranoid that the government were monitoring, like there's an alert that goes out for that being searched a lot, and they come round and have a word.
Yeah. So, I mean, all these things have crossed my mind, so there's that. Yeah. And then the other thing I was just going to mention here in the intro this week is last week on the podcast, there was... This only applies to people who downloaded it early, but there was a foul-mouthed outburst from you right at the end.
Well, unintentionally.
Well, you know, you're in control of your own mouth, Annabelle. Nobody put those words in there. Did you kiss your own mother with that mouth when we're not in social distancing and a lockdown?
No. Yeah, so I don't. No, I didn't know it's going to be on, well, obviously it wasn't supposed to be on the podcast, but I don't even know. What was I swearing at? Do you know? I can't remember.
What it was is we'd been talking about something in the podication, and then I told you a story that I'd never told you from years ago appertaining to that thing, and you were finding it quite shocking. So you were just... as a reaction saying the F word a lot. But what happens is when we finish recording, you email me your file. So I'd stopped recording that by that point, but yours was still going and you were just saying the F word over and over again. They couldn't hear my end of the conversation.
That must have been amazing. Imagine downloading that. That for me would be the best podcast ever that I'd ever listened to.
Unless you're listening with your children, of course.
Yeah, sorry about that, everyone.
Yeah, in which case it's a scramble for the off switch. But I promise to be mindful of that this week. I don't want another, you know, people are finding it difficult as it is. It's, you know, it's difficult times for everyone. They don't need you effing and jeffing.
I think what I'll do is I'll press stop.
Oh, can we hear? Is that a special guest appearance on
can
the podcast?
You hear it? What's he saying? Yes. Hold on. Oh, he's calling for me. No, I'm not going to go. I'm going to be professional and stay. Carry on.
That must make you feel better because you told me that he won't allow you to sing to him before. He'll only let your lover, Tom, sing his lullabies at night.
Yeah, but then after Tom said goodnight to me, he likes me to come in and then he's got these set things he says and then he goes to sleep. But so he probably wants to say his set things, but oh well.
All right. Anyway, so we've done the apologies and shall tell you what, I will let you go and attend to your son.
Okay.
And then we will be back in a second.
Okay, great. I shall rush off. Give me a sec.
You back with us?
Hello, yes, I'm back. Hi.
Did that all go fine?
Yes, I'm fine. We did our set piece and now it's over. We like to keep to a script.
What is your contribution?
To the script?
Yeah.
I say, he says, it would be so boring. Are you sure?
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay, so he says... Baba, which means Baba sleeping. And I go, yes, Baba sleeping. And then he goes, shh, shh. And I go, yes, the shush is on. And then he goes, eyes, which means my eyes are closed. And I go, yes, your eyes are closed. And he goes, rah, and I go, yes, your dinosaur's here. And then he goes, Baba. And I go, yes, your Baba's there. And then I say, good night, Rudy. What a lovely day we've had. Good night. See you in the morning.
You see, I don't think that was in the least bit boring. I found it fascinating.
Oh, really?
But I wonder if I wonder if that's just because A, I've got a small child, and B, I love you. Like, I don't know. Like, if that is, I don't know if it's because of the depth of our friendship that I find that. You know, when you get to see, you know somebody inside out, and then, but there are still certain bits of them that are generally hidden from you because, you know, it's just boring bits of their everyday life. I love those glimpses.
Right. Okay. Well, if it's interesting
that was great for
you,
me, but.
Okay. Maybe one other person would be like, oh, that was quite interesting.
Who knows? All right, then. So correspondence from drifters.
Yes, the first one is from Rob. Last November, I was doing my then usual commute from west of London into Waterloo Station. In the middle of the packed concourse, there was a small table with two elderly ladies selling poppies and other British Legion merchandise, and I could see that commuters were getting frustrated at having to navigate around them. I'd not yet bought my annual poppies, so decided I should support them as they were valiantly doing an excellent job and no one seemed to be giving them the time of day. I navigated through the crowds and proudly went to select my pre-pinned poppy from those on display. Just as I did this, a tall, well-dressed gentleman approached the table and picked up one of those bigger, fancier poppies. The two ladies immediately got talking to him and were showing their gratitude as the man pushed a rolled-up £10 note into one of the collection tins. I picked up my small paper poppy and dropped a £2 coin soundlessly into another collection tin. As I did this, I tried to make eye contact with one of the ladies to show that I'd just made a donation. They were still both fussing over Mr. Tenor here, and I couldn't seem to get their attention. I tried a little cough just so they would see me, but to no avail. I then realised this attempt at getting their attention would probably look like I was reaching for a thank you. I really wasn't. I just wanted them to realise I'd paid for the poppy I was about to walk away with. I decided I'd been standing there too long, so I took my poppy, turned and walked away. I got about 20 feet when I sensed a commotion from the poppy table. I had my earphones in, so I couldn't quite hear what the fuss was about. But as I turned to look, the two elderly ladies were waving like crazy, shouting something and pointing in my direction. I immediately realised, with horror, that they must have thought I'd taken a poppy without paying for it. Above the din of my headphones, I shouted, at a volume that surprised even me, "It's okay, I paid for it, I didn't nick it." Everyone around me stared at me. Surely stealing a poppy from two elderly ladies must be the lowest of all crimes. And I knew that everyone would be telling their friends and workmates about what they'd just seen at Waterloo Station. The only person in my immediate vicinity who wasn't staring at me was the tall gentleman who, unbeknownst to me, had walked away from the table seconds after me and was also striding in my direction. The poppy sellers weren't actually waving at me. They were waving at him. He'd left his umbrella against their table and had left it behind. I lowered my head and walked away as quickly as I could. As a drifter, I don't know what was worse, having shouted at two innocent ladies in a crowded station, or the knowledge that a bunch of London commuters will have spent the day talking about some terrible person who had probably stolen from a worthwhile and well-loved charity. This year, I'll be doing an online donation and then reusing last year's poppy. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great.
Very embarrassing. And this one is from Andy. I need to set the scene for this one. I often stay over at my girlfriend's flat, which, like many in London, is a studio flat with a shared kitchen. I have stayed over plenty of times before, and like the decent person she is, my girlfriend tries her best to limit my exposure to anyone else in the building due to my failure at forming any normal human interaction. Anyway, I'm not sure what came over me one morning, but we needed to do the washing up from the night before, and with a burst of enthusiasm and chivalry, I decided that I would let her stay in bed and I would go to the shared kitchen and complete the washing up. Obviously, my girlfriend was worried straight away that I would see someone or cause an awkward social interaction. But I reassured her that it would be fine. I'd just do the washing up and return like a normal human being. The shared kitchen is a flight of stairs down and through a door. Once inside the kitchen, there are about four doors emanating from the kitchen. One to a bathroom, one back from where I came to the stairwell, and two doors to other people's flats. So I'm at the sink, confidently washing up, and my back is to the stairway door, which I came in from, and also to the other doors as well. I finished washing up, and I turned back to leave the kitchen area, only to find a young woman holding the door open to the stairway for me in a sort of a, I'll wait for you to clear the kitchen before I come in kind of way. I walk towards the woman with all my washing up and thank her for holding the door open for me, smiling politely and stepping past her over the threshold of the door, only to realise that I wasn't in the stairway as expected, but I was in the hallway of someone else's flat. I was literally stood in the hallway of a person's flat looking into their bedroom. I could see their unmade bed and clothes on the floor. The woman said, "Are you okay?" meekly, to which I replied the only way I knew how. I apologised about five times and uttered, "I'm from upstairs," before leaving her flat and finally exiting through the appropriate door to the stairway. I told my girlfriend about all of this once I returned and was met with the comment of, "I knew that would happen." Since then, I've been unable to go to the shared kitchen on my own in case someone sees me, so I have to take my girlfriend for protection every time. I'm saving up to move house soon. This is the obvious, only logical solution.
Please do continue to email us through all this. You can do so at hello@adriftpodcast.com. Annabelle, another way in which you are not a fully functioning adult?
The lockdown weeks, months, years. So I think that we're lucky compared to some other countries in that we're allowed out for a walk, like a walk, run or cycle once a day. My friend, she lives in Dubai, and they're only allowed to go to the supermarket every 3 days or the cash point every 5 days, which I find really weird. Like, I don't think I've been to a cash point for about 8 months. But now there are some very excited trips to the ATM every fifth day in Dubai just to get out of the house. But I enjoy my daily walk. You have a daily walk, don't you?
Yes, yeah, we go to the cemetery.
The cemetery, yeah. It's just nice to get out of the house. So I like it, and my two-year-old likes it, and the dog likes it. And I feel like we might all go insane without it. And we live right by Epping Forest, so that makes the walk pretty nice, especially as there are less doggers around at the moment. That makes it especially nice. But as someone who grew up on a dual carriageway, where the nearest green space that we paid
in... Hang on a minute. I just want to come back to the dogging issue.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'm surprised that dogging is that affected by it.
Really?
Because if you think about it, so and I know it doesn't necessarily count as a form of exercise. So, you know, it's not necessarily an essential reason for leaving the house.
Yeah.
But my understanding of it, it is generally a husband and his wife. So they are members of the same household. And then the spectators, usually gentlemen, from what I've seen in documentaries, they are generally 2 meters apart from each other and from the couple. So
you make
I'm surprised.
An excellent point.
And you know, you could claim it's exercise.
I think what I was trying to say,
yeah,
and I was using the wrong word. I don't know the right word that's like decent to say. Decent. What I mean is there's other activities going on that you don't do with your household, and there is no social distancing.
Right.
That's
yes.
What I was referring to, but I was using the wrong words.
Yeah. That still goes on in the cemetery we go to.
No.
But after a certain time, our next door neighbours, the Dearies, happened to cross it down a secluded pathway in the cemetery the other day.
Cemetery?
Yeah, it's quite notorious for it, this particular cemetery.
I went a bit speechless then. Can you imagine?
No, I mean, it's not my thing, but who am I to judge?
Wow.
Who am I to judge?
I'm judging.
Who am I to judge the depravity?
Well, seeing as your son did a poo on a gravestone, I would agree that you're not in the best position to judge.
Yeah. Go on, sorry. I feel like I completely derailed what you were telling us.
That's all right, not at all. So, so I grew up on a dual carriageway, and the nearest green space that we played in was the sewers. So I'm not someone who knows the names of plants and flowers and birds. It's not my thing. I'm not good with nature. If it's in the air, I can identify magpie, pigeon, crow and robin. That's it. Mm-hmm. And as far as I'm concerned, any bird in the water is a duck or a swan, because I know swans. So I was with my son by the edge of a lake in Epping Forest, and there was also another family, and there was a mum and a dad and a son roughly the same age as mine, judging by his height, maybe a bit younger, but he was speaking fluently, whereas mine mostly just says "ot dat," which means "what's that?" about everything. Like, even though he knows the name of everything, he just likes me repeating names of things, so it always goes "ot dat, ot dat." And while the other parents were interacting with their child by asking stimulating questions, me and Rudy were just lobbing stones in the water. Basically, they were the kind of parents that I thought I'd be, but I'm very definitely not. So we're throwing stones, and then a duck comes swimming up, and I say, "Oh, Rudy, a duck. Say hello to the duck." And then the dad says to his son, "Oh, Edward, look at the coot. What a lovely coot." Which annoys me. Like, it's annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, it's passive aggressive.
Yeah, it's like he can't bear his 2-year-old to be as ignorant as me. It gets my back up. So I start saying, "Oh, yes, what a lovely duck. Rudy, wave to the duck." And I just keep saying duck over and over again. And then he's saying, "Edward, do you want to give the coot some food? He's a lovely coot." And I'm saying, "Hello, duck. What a nice duck." And it's getting ridiculous. Like, I realise it's pathetic. And then the duck slash coot goes off and we go back to throwing stones in the water. And then another 2 ducks show up and I'm all, "Oh, Rudy, Rudy, 2 more ducks." And the dad says, "Oh, Edward, Canadian geese." And he cannot stop saying Canadian geese. He says it over and over again. And I hate him so much. He makes me so furious. And the very worst part of it all is that now, whenever we see a coot or a Canadian goose, Rudy says to me, "Ot dat," and I say, "Duck," and he says, "No," until I say Canadian goose or coot, and then he goes, "Yes." He's on the dad's side. So I'm going to ruin his childhood by asking him endless stimulating questions now to see how he likes that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'll tell you what we started watching, Annabelle.
Oh, yeah?
Flowers, which you told me about a couple of years ago.
Oh, I loved that. So good.
It's brilliant. And
isn't it?
I remember wanting to watch it at the time, and Sarah was having none of it.
Right.
And I said, "But Annabelle says it's really good." And, you know, she, I think maybe because it was coming via me, she just refused to even give it a chance. And then she's got this friend who is cool, like she's a cool kid.
Right.
Who recommended it to her last week. And the next night, Sarah had already watched 2 episodes and said, "Okay, well, you have to rewatch them to catch up with me." And I felt slightly resentful.
I feel resentful. She took the advice of the cool kid over both me and you.
Yes, it's exactly that. I mean, what's wrong with us?
Yeah, I'm actually offended.
Yeah, okay,
we've got good taste, haven't we?
Yeah, but very good taste by and large, I think. Yeah, I'm really enjoying it, though. I've watched the whole of the first series and I've just started the second, and I think it's fantastic. It's Olivia Colman and Julian Barrett from The Mighty Boosh, and I'm enjoying it enormously. You watching anything that we haven't already mentioned?
What am I watching? What am I watching? I've started something and it's coming to me. You were
the
laughing.
Only reason is...
Oh, yes, I've just remembered it.
So a couple of people tweeted to say that they're enjoying our... recommendations for what to watch in lockdown, so I thought I'll try and doing it.
To be honest, I just watch things that everyone's watching, so I feel like I'm not adding to anything. I'm not sort of saying something new or interesting, because we're watching Afterlife 2 at the moment.
Oh, right, yeah, I enjoyed the first series, not so much the last episode, but I enjoyed like all of the first series very much indeed until that last episode, which was a bit, for me anyway, a little overly sentimental, but I'll definitely watch the second, because I enjoyed, yeah, most 90% of that first series so much. Have I have I made it clear that I enjoyed it all apart from the last episode?
Yeah.
I just feel like I've repeated myself about 19 times. Okay, so there's that. We're watching a thing called The Outsider.
What's that?
TV adaptation of a Stephen King novel.
Oh.
Which I really enjoyed the first couple of episodes, and now I've gone off it a bit because I've realised there's a big supernatural component to it. So I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure out who done it and what had happened. And then what I've realized now is there's no point, you know, like, you spent years watching Lost and trying to figure out what had actually happened. There was no point because it was always going to be something stupid because it can't be explained by logic. That's how I feel about this thing a little bit. If I'd just been watching it in the first place, thinking, oh, I'm watching a spooky thing, then maybe I'd be enjoying it more. But I'm struggling a little bit because I thought I'd be able to figure it out with my brilliant mind for spotting plot points. I tell you what I was going to mention is I was out earlier. I wasn't walking to the cemetery. I was going to the shops, which is the other thing you're allowed to do.
Yeah.
And I passed someone in the street who was wearing one of those face masks, which if you're in the UK, you will know they're not mandatory here as of yet, although I think that's changing in Scotland. But if you're listening in another country, I think that, you know, they're mandatory in a lot of places.
Mm.
Apart from Sweden, of course, where you're just all like, encouraged to like get up right in each other's faces and breathe all over each other.
Kissing. Oh, they're all kissing, aren't they?
Yeah. but anyway, the point being, I passed somebody in a face mask in the street, said hello to them because straight away I recognised it as one of the young women who works at my son's nursery.
Oh, okay.
And that got me to thinking that masks perhaps aren't as good a disguise as people think they are.
Oh, because you can tell, you could tell by the top half of the face.
Yeah, but just generally, you know, like you'll watch a film like Eyes Wide Shut, which admittedly I've never seen, but my understanding of it is people go to depraved sex parties, but it's okay because they're wearing masks.
Yeah, you can
so
still
it's all
tell.
Anonymous. Yeah. Or if they make a documentary about dogging where they've got masks on, or if people are uploading adult contents of themselves to the internet wearing masks, it strikes me that maybe, like, having about a quarter of your face covered up to people who already know you isn't going to disguise you beyond all recognition.
No. I think it's a good lesson for you to learn. If you're thinking about disguising yourself at some weird sex party or something, I don't know.
Yes, yeah. It's, you know, maybe it needs more than a mask.
Mm-mm.
Also, I wondered if I would have recognised her without the mask, though. I wonder if, you know, like, so I'm bad with faces.
Yeah, hold on a minute, you're blind. Terrible.
Yeah, and I wonder if something about the mask makes it easier for me.
Because there's less of the face to identify.
Yeah.
Is that how it works?
I don't know what's going on. I've told you before, I mean, this is slightly different, but in fact, it's not related at all. I don't know why I'm bringing it up, really. I was going to say, do you remember when I used to be going to the airport quite often after the radio show on a Friday and I'd be in a rush? So I'd get one of these taxi bikes.
Mm-mm.
And I'd sit on the back of the bike and I'd have a helmet on and have a little intercom in it. And I'd be talking to the guy driving the bike, the rider. And I was 10 times more interesting and charismatic and conversationally adept as I am in any other social environment.
Right, because you didn't have to have eye contact.
Yeah. I don't know what it was, but just something about, you know, not having to stare at somebody's face while I was talking to them made me far better and more comfortable as a conversationalist. And I wonder, I think, like, the logic, it's quite the leap of logic here, is if the world would be a better place for me if everybody was just wearing masks all the time.
Yeah, or you just spoke to people's back. Because say, could you just, we'll have a better conversation if you wouldn't mind just turning round. That wouldn't be an awkward thing to say. Just try
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I mean, the conversation would be off to a bad start just with me saying that. The first time I ever got on one of those bikes, because they give you, you know, I don't know, leathers, what do you call them? I had to put like some kind of overall on or something and then put the helmet on. And I sat, the rider got on and then he showed me how to climb on pillion. So I got on and then I sort of put my arms around his waist and he came on the intercom and said, "That's very nice, but if you look to your sides, there are handles for you to grab onto."
I love how he said that's very nice beforehand.
God, I used to love getting those taxi bikes.
Because you liked what because of the conversation, or
I think I liked the conversation. I was at my conversational best on the back of them. I liked the sort of drama of, oh, I'm in such a rush to get to the airport, I couldn't possibly just go on public transport or get in a normal taxi. I got to go on the back of a motorbike because it's going to save me 10 minutes. Yeah, and then I think just, I mean, I have no ambition at all to be a biker, and yet I would feel so much adrenaline from whizzing up the motorway on those bikes that when I got off the other end, I was really buzzing.
Oh, I want to go on one now.
Maybe I should join a biker gang, but just as somebody who rides pillion.
Or maybe a little sidecar. You could do that.
Yeah. Okay, Snaresbrook suggestions at the GLAP clinic. At my end in problematic. How's it, Quandary Corner?
Yeah.
How's it looking? Have you got the first one for us?
I do, and it's from Ben, who says, just a quick urgent one I think we all need in these crazy times. With the incessant memes, GIFs, etc. being sent round at the moment, is there a way to respond politely without upsetting the sender, especially when you've seen it countless times already? Let me explain further. If I get sent something, especially by my parents' generation, 75 to 80, I can guarantee I saw it weeks, if not years ago, or it won't be funny, or both. If I get sent one I've seen several times already that is funny, do I just respond as if it's the first time I've seen it? Worst of all is I've been the one that found it first and sent it to loads of people ages ago. How do I keep that quiet and politely respond when I just want to show off and say, yes, that's one of mine? Actually, worst of all is when I'm the culprit. I got a very polite response from a friend saying, that one's been doing the rounds for a bit now, but I love it. Like a punch to the gut. Any help will be welcome. Kindness of regards, Ben. Oh, I think that's a great question.
Yeah, I mean, I have been guilty of doing that kind of passive-aggressive, oh yeah, it's a great one, that, isn't it? You know,
oh, that says everything. That's a great one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I mean, usually I'll only do that if it's one doing the rounds about the Beatles or something I know a lot about. That I would consider it some kind of personal shame that I brought on my own name and that of my family by not having already seen it. Otherwise, I don't know how you're communicating these things, but if it's via iMessage or texts, you can do this thing now. You tell me if you can do it on WhatsApp, because as you know, I'm not on WhatsApp, where if you hold it down, you can do a reaction like a thumbs up or a ha-ha.
Well, no, you can just do an emoji, really.
So if I look at the last message you sent me, I'm just going to do it now. Mm-hmm. If I hold my thumb down on it, I'm given the option of a heart, a thumbs up, a thumbs down, a ha-ha, two exclamation marks or a question mark. So I'm going to do ha-ha.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. It should pop up on your phone as a reaction. And so you're able to react to text messages like you can react to things on Facebook.
Right. And so that saves you having to use any words.
I think the sort of the bare minimum is just being able to do that. Because often prior to that, I would spell out ha 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 ha. But I'd also worry that it looked sarcastic.
Mm.
What's your thought on this?
Well, the thing is, like you were saying, that if someone sends you something like Beatley, you're thinking that it'd be great shame if you hadn't seen it already. But they're sending it to you because they think you haven't seen it. So any kind of words you use are going to make them feel like, oh, that's really embarrassing. He'd already seen it. Why?
Yeah, but I want them to feel a bit embarrassed. I want them to feel embarrassed.
Well, you want them to.
Who did I think I was? That I'd have to get up very early in the morning to find a Beatle gif or meme that he hasn't already seen.
Yeah, okay. So in the case of just one of the ones going around at the moment, I think all you can do is just do some kind of emoji, some kind of ha ha ha, like just some kind of amused reaction. I think if you use any words, I think it is like a punch to the gut, like thinking. So I sent one to mine. So I'm in a WhatsApp group with my neighbours, just to either side. And I sent, I don't know why I did it, but I sent a GIF. I think it's a GIF or a meme. Anyway, I sent one. And one of them responded with the crying of a laughter face. Great. The other one responded with the kind of the okay, the A-OK hand sign. And that was her saying, oh, I saw that years ago or months ago. Because I did ask my boyfriend later when any of that's been going around for ages now. And I felt like an idiot.
What was the GIF of? Was it of, what's his face? Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka looking slightly bored.
No.
What was it?
I feel almost embarrassed to say.
We want to hear.
Oh, it was really funny.
Go on.
So it's a guy just looking to the camera, and then there's a voiceover saying, you've got to be locked down for, I can't remember it word for word, for 6 weeks. You have two choices. A, you lock down with your wife and children. B, and he goes, I'll take A. No, no, I'll take B. I'll take B. No, I did it wrong. Sorry, I messed it up. He goes, I'll take B.
Yeah, no, we've all seen it. I just wanted to hear you describe it. Wait,
that was so cruel of you.
When did you send that?
Oh, wait, ages ago. But
when did you really send it?
Honestly, ages ago. But
did you send it like the first day of lockdown? If so, it's not exclusive. The first day they started talking that there might be a lockdown in the news was when everybody saw that.
No, it was ages ago, but it was in lockdown. And I could tell just by her little gesture, the gesture she'd use, that she'd seen it about a week ago already. And she'd been sent it 20 times. Oh, and I felt so embarrassed.
This is why it's best not to try.
I know. This is a thing. Can we just make a rule that we don't try? And then if someone does try, we just do the crying with laughter face and that's it. It's done.
Oh, I quite like the A-OK fingers.
Ah, but that said everything to me.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
It was a punch to the gut. Okay, let's move on to the next one. It's from Roz. How many times a day do you say hello to someone? This was written a while ago.
Yeah.
For example, you get into work and say hello to the security guard on the way in. Are you done with hellos for the day? Or do you have to greet them in the same way every time you pass them? Like if you go out for lunch and come back in, is that another hello? Is a smile and a nod okay? I once worked with an intern who said hello every time you met them, which was often several times in one day, and it was weird.
Well, firstly, I think, you know, regular listeners will know the first time you say hello, and then if you see them again in the afternoon, you say, hot enough for you? cold enough for you,
depending on the weather. Yeah, there we go. Kind of answer the question, really, isn't it? Yeah. And that's you done.
Yeah, but I do think the answer is also in the question, that I think the smile and the nod is after the first time is fine.
Yeah, I think you only need to say hello once, don't you? The first time is a hello, and then it just goes down in increments until, if you've seen them like 20 times that day, you can ignore them by the 20th, I think.
You know the worst possible thing you could do, if it was like, say, like 3 times or more, if you went, me again. Just me again.
We've all done it.
Yeah. If you have a quandary for us here in Quandary Corner, and we're so grateful that we're still getting them, even though people are social distancing, these things are obviously still preying on your mind. Do send us your quandaries for Quandary Corner. If you need to know the behaviour in any given social situation, email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. And that was our podcast. Thank you for listening to it this week. I thought your bits were very good, Annabelle. I feel that I've been a little lackluster.
No,
but I can't always have all my luster all the time. It'd be exhausting for me and everyone else.
Too much luster, yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's a great song, Luster by Ed Harcourt.
Oh, I don't think I know it, and I do like Ed Harcourt.
Annabelle, it's one of his best. It's not one of his best known, but one of his best. He did it in session on the old radio show. The version he did in session, if anything, is even better than the one on the record. Maybe I'll send it to you on a wet transfer.
A what?
A wet transfer.
Oh, my God.
What?
Okay, yeah, I get it. Okay.
We used to have this boss who was, like, obsessive about knowing what the latest thing was online. He always knew the websites and the social media before anybody else. And he came in one morning and told us about something called Pinterest.
Oh. Was he the one whose son hacked into his account and sent round a link to Pen Island as well? That's another one.
We've gone off the track here. What was I doing? Thanking them for listening to the podcast. Yeah, so thanks to Man and the Echo for the back of music, and to Emily Harrison for the incidental music. Thank you to you for listening. And I'll finish by making clear, it's okay, I paid for it, I didn't nick it. Podication time. This comes from Mark, who says, "Dear Jeff and Annabelle, it's Mark here, a drifter living in Stavanger in Norway. I don't know how many others are listening from the fjord cracked north, but I hope some of them at least are tuning in on my recommendation. I'd love to spend some more time in Norway. I think a total of 3 or 4 hours in Oslo, and I once took a ferry from Bergen, but apart from that, very little time. I think it seems to be one of the most beautiful countries in Europe. I have a very good friend who lives in, found, I have a couple of good friends who live in Oslo.
Who are they? Aha.
Yeah, but only two of them.
Oh, right.
I won't say which one I don't like.
Okay.
It's Pal.
I've never been to Norway, and I very much want to go.
Well, you better take out a second mortgage.
Yes, I'm going to, yeah. I mean, I am going to.
How are you going to get approved, just out of interest?
No, I mean, I'm joking. Of course, yeah. I'm not going to. No. I never get approved.
No. It just seems like a beautiful country. I'm a big fan of the Nordic countries, although I've only spent time in Denmark, Sweden and Iceland, and those few hours in Norway. Never been to Finland. I know, Annabelle, you spent a bit of time there in Finland.
I have.
Åland, which are the islands in the Baltic Sea, which belong to Finland, the sort of halfway across.
Yeah.
And I know you've spent some time in Helsinki as well.
Yeah.
Also in a forest quite close to Helsinki.
Yes, good memory.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure it's hugely insulting if you start talking about Norway and then somebody starts going on about whether his colleague's been to Finland or not.
I'm sure Mark doesn't mind.
Yeah. That would be like somebody writing in from the Isle of Man, and then you said, "Never been there, but I have been to the Isle of Wight."
Yeah, I suppose.
He says, "I hope some of them are tuning in on my recommendation. Anyone whose opinion matters to me is forced to sit down and listen to the unlucky story whilst I hover in the background with an affected air of nonchalance, but truly with hope and desperation in my heart." What is a worse feeling than trying to show somebody something or get them to listen to something and trying to gauge their reaction in
the
real
stress
time?
The stress of it.
I know. I hope, because I think they're great and I want them to love it and become drifters like me. And desperation, because, well, I'd honestly try to continue the relationship before, but if they don't like that story, I know in my heart we are not really going to make it as friends. But love is blind. I know it's difficult to imagine anyone being as besotted as this, but it is a measure of how much I love my girlfriend that I don't even remember what she thought of the unlucky story. Wow. So if I may, I would like to podicate this episode to her. Her name is Veronica. She used to have a carefree mind of her own and a devilish look in her eyes. Do you know what that was, Annabelle?
No, what?
It wasn't in the podication. It was me quoting Elvis Costello's Veronica.
Oh.
I like that song. It's spelt differently, though. She spells it with a K. The other day, Mark continues, she said to me, "When I am 100% sure that I'm right about something, I am probably wrong about 60% of the time."
Amazing.
It makes me laugh whenever I think about that.
That is so amazing.
I think
that's true of me as well.
I think that's a bit true of me as well. So I want her to know that even if she were only 60% as kind and as caring and fun, as beautiful as she is, she would still be 100% right for me. What a lovely thing.
Aww.
Thanks, guys. Well, Veronica, Mark, you found each other in the frozen north. Isn't that a lovely thing?
Beautiful.
We've got to get to Norway. Maybe we should do our second live show in Norway.
Let's not start planning it too soon.
What are those? There's some islands right at the top that I've always fancied. I've always liked the look of some islands at the top of Norway. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Well,
what,
I can.
Are they near Tromsø? Let's have a look here. Let me try and Google map it. What are those ones called? Right up there.
You can tell that we're sick of being in our own houses. All we can talk about is countries you want to go to.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, it's just Norway really for me, but I can't remember it. I can't get them up on the screen. Doesn't matter though, does it?
No.
We'll be all right. We can talk about these islands another time. Maybe Veronica can write in and tell us if she knows anything about these islands.
Maybe she knows any good venues there for this live show we're doing.
Yeah. Mm. I think... And it proved to us which were the most dedicated drifters, because they travel all the way to these small islands at the top of Norway, which I think are quite possibly in the Arctic Circle. And
Yeah.
And also they'd all be having to get second mortgages because Norway's so expensive. Yeah. Not if you're Norwegian. Because they've got that huge sovereign wealth fund, of course.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to pencil it in for 2021. I'm not going to use a pen. I'm going to use a pencil.
Right. If you would like a podication, then email us hello@adriftpodcast.com. No more effort and Jeff and Annabelle.
I'm pressing stop now.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.